Huh? Yeah, don't talk so smart. You just, you know, Hebrews tells us that we are to not forsake the assembling as what, especially as the day approaches. So that tells me the closer we get to the end days, and you know, today's a lot closer than we were yesterday. Right? That's the kind of mind I have. I can figure that kind of stuff out. But as we get closer to the day, more and more we are to learn to fellowship and love one another, and God's doing it at work. It's a love. I remember when I was a young believer, one of the guys in the church says, "All you Christians want to do is fellowship all the time." And I'm going, "Oh, yeah, I do." And I kind of felt bad about that, you know. But the early church, they were given over to fellowship, weren't they? And they couldn't get enough of each other. They met every single day. And I'm not prophesying this, but I believe we're coming to a day where we're going to find ourselves gathering. Whether it's in our church building every day, doesn't necessarily be that, but we're going to be gathering together in houses. We're going to be gathering together, and our friends that are going to be our church family, because we can't have anything to do with the world. We have to be in the world, but we certainly don't have to be friends with it. Amen? We're there to minister light and salt to that world. Amen. And so we need one another more than maybe many of you realize. So that's what the Lord's doing. He's building this community of believers. We never even had one thought of ever drafting any papers to make some kind of denomination or organization out of it. Well, you know, if the Holy Spirit put this together, then the Holy Spirit can keep it. What happens is revival comes, and then man claims it as his own, puts his name on it, and the next thing you know, a denomination is coming out of it. And Bill Casey, some of you guys know him, an evangelist, he said one time, he says, when Israel backslid, God sent him into the nations. And when the church backslid, he sent him into denominations. So we want to just let the Holy Spirit rule and reign in his church. And you have to believe he can do it. Amen? I'm not picking on anybody that's in the denomination. But I'm just telling you, how it is in the Bible. And I just believe it can be like that. And I'm crazy enough to believe it. We need some crazy people. Paul was accused of being mad, so I guess we could be mad men too. Amen? Praise God. Well, we have an offering basket here. We, you know, every year we provide for the stay at the hotel for the ministers. We provide a meal, and we try to just make it as easy and inexpensive as possible for you to come and partake of this. This is a gift from our church. We take a real pleasure in serving God's people, God's ministers. We see the importance of that. And it is certainly, it would dishonor us if you were to say, no, we're paying for it. But yet, I want to say, if you want to partake in that, and you want to, you know, you want to be a little part of that blessing, you can give an offering. We're not against it. The offering basket is up here. And if you put any money in there tonight, it'll go just to help to pay for this conference. But I don't want anybody to feel any pressure any minute. I've been to a couple CAM meetings where, oh, they're going to put you up in a room and everything. And then when you get there, they're trying to get the money out of you. And it's like, well, why didn't you just charge me to begin with? You know, the money they paid for the hotel, I just put it in the basket then, you know. So we just want you to be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you got to squeeze in. We got more people wanting to get in. So if you got some extra seats, send them in. Send the sheep in. That's that sheep from another fold that the Lord was talking about. Amen. Thank you for your giving. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray you bless this offering, Lord. Bless the people that, the saints that have given it, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless them for their generosity and their act of love, Lord, for your ministers, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that you provided that we can do this. It's a real joy and a real pleasure, Lord, to serve your people, God. And I just pray we can do it many times over, Lord. And we just, again, thank you and ask you to bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow morning again, where the ministers and any men from their church that have traveled here, we're going to meet in here and just share our burdens with one another. And the ladies will be meeting out in that area over there, I guess. So come again. It's at 9. And, you know, we'll be a little flexible, 9:30 range when you get here. And then we'll just spend that time together and have lunch again. And then 6:30 is our final service. And Pastor Lee Shipp will be preaching that tomorrow evening. And then that'll wrap up our 2018 Midwest Ministers Conference. I think this is about the 8th year we've been doing this. So it's been wonderful. Lee and David did the first one with me way back then. We each did 2. But there's so many other great preachers in our midst. You kind of want to get some others in there, you know. Thank you, Chris, last night. That great message. My son Aaron this morning. Thank me for yesterday morning. Oh, sometimes some of those things are uncomfortable. We've the first morning we were here, we introduced ourselves, the pastors, and then we've few that have come over the next couple meetings, we've done that. And we have one more. There are 2 pastors we have to introduce to you tonight, and then everybody's here, of pastors that have been invited. And that is Eric and Candy. They started a Hmong church in here last December, was it? With about 30 people. And are you up to like about 100? So close to that? Or about 75. And I'm thinking, well, they're going to outgrow this place faster than we are. And it would be a bummer if we have to fork out money to put an addition on, and they're the ones that get to use it. That won't be a bummer, but... So why don't you go ahead and both of you introduce yourselves and tell us briefly about your church, the name of it.
We're co-pastors of Enduring Love International Church, or Eli Church. We've been so blessed by Pastor Terry Fisher and their congregation here, just blessing us with a place to come and worship. We meet every Sunday at 1 o'clock and sometimes 3 o'clock. And so, yeah, but we praise God for what he's doing. And we praise God for what he's not just doing in Eli, but what we see him doing right here in the church in Wisconsin. So thank you so much.
Yeah, well, my name is Pastor Eric. Again, this is my wife. And we're just so blessed to be sharing a building with Pastor Fisher and them. It's been a blessing. You know, it's been a journey for us. When we started the church, the Hmong church, you know, we didn't know which direction it was going to go, but we give it all to God. And he's the one that's leading us. So it's been a blessing. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's been a delight for us to have you here. And your church has certainly boosted my faith. They've had miracles and stuff happen. The Hmong people are a spiritual people. So when they hear messages about the Spirit working in the lives of the church, they receive that a lot better than some of us old crusty, self-made people, self-dependent people. And they just take it off of false spirits, and they just put it on the true Holy Spirit. Amen. God's doing healings. They told me 5 people that are suicidal that they've prayed deliverance for, gotten saved. Wanted to end their life, and they go and pray for them, and they just get saved. Led one of the doctors to the Lord. Baptized her right here. One of the doctors that her and Joy worked for, too. So praise God. Your church is an encouragement to us. And it isn't by accident that Joy worked, that you were Joy's boss. Nothing's by accident in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So enough of me yapping here. It's time to have our evangelist. One of my favoritest buddies and evangelists and brother and all those things that you are in my life. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Bless you. Right back at you. That's the way I feel too. Isn't it wonderful tonight to be in an atmosphere that it's not staged. You go to a lot of conferences like this, everything is so staged. It's so theatrical. Everything has been practiced and repracticed and hashed and rehashed. And the worship team has fought 15 times. And this one said, I could sing better than that one can, and I could do it better than this one. And whoever thought that we could stage who Jesus sent to glorify him. You don't have to stage what has been sent. I will pray the Father. He will send you another comforter. When he comes, he will glorify me. You just be in the Spirit. He will worship through you. He'll magnify the Lord through you. And I just thank God for the reality. And I think that's what a lot of people that have just been exposed to nothing but tears, and they come into an environment where people just really love Jesus. They magnify the Lord together, and there's no pretense, and nobody's jockeying to get more books sold and more CDs sold, and evangelists are not coming up handing out cards and things like that. It's just great to be here, and I thank God for that. And if this is your first time to this conference, this is reality. As Pastor Steve said, we're not the only ones, but we are some of them. I said, we're not the only ones, but we are some of them. Hallelujah. So I thank God for this meeting. I thank God for all of you. What a privilege to be here again, and to be asked back again is always a wonderful, wonderful thing. I've been to Ireland with Pastor Lee twice, and there drinking a cup of coffee and getting a cup of tea is an event. It's not just something you do in the morning. If somebody offers you a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and they ask you again, would you like another cup? That means you're in. So I thank God that I had the first invitation to come, but this is my, I don't know how many times I've been privileged to come here, but hopefully I'm in, okay, is what I'm saying. And it's always a pleasure to be here. These folks are just special people in my life, and we do share something special. Talking to Brother Lee and Brother Steve at lunch today, I've sat out there where you are. I've been to meetings and needing a word from God. And sometimes I felt like it was a make or break situation. If I didn't hear from God in a certain way on that night, I felt like maybe I couldn't even get up tomorrow and take another step. You've been there probably before. And to know that someone, who somebody has already said, somebody took time to look upon the throne of God, to hear the heart of God, to hear not what God has said, but to hear what God was saying, and to come and speak that message to the people of God. I've told this story here before. I was a young preacher, and not so much that way anymore, but a young preacher starting out, started in ministry when I was 17, and started out strong, doors opened up, and kind of just hit that law. I was in a tough age where decisions and choices and opportunities are not always good. Relationships are not always conducive to your relationship with Christ. And I remember coming to a revival meeting in 1985, long time ago. Started preaching in 1983, 1985, sitting there, a young man and an evangelist came into our home church there in Arkansas, and he preached a message that forever changed my life. I literally felt like that the Lord had transposed me out of everybody else in that building, and I was the only one there that he was talking to. I wept, I cried. There was something that went off in me that made me believe that I could get right and that God was not finished with me, that I had a future in the Lord. And I was privileged, Aaron, to preach with that preacher here a while back in a revival meeting. And it meant so much to me to be able to preach with the guy that preached the message that set me on the path and in the environment that I'm in tonight. So Aaron and I have got to do that. I'm not a hero. I'm not saying that at all. But God, for whatever reason, put on Brother Terry's heart for me to come. And I preached a message one time about the Harlot Church. One time. And it was at the church in Wisconsin, then Living Waters. And so I know the value of hearing from God. And having someone hear from God to come and speak that truth into your life, it can forever change you. And we were talking today as well. Some people believe that following directions is the same thing as following Jesus. That's not true. If Abraham would have followed directions, Isaac would be a dead guy, right? That was the direction, but he didn't follow the direction. He followed God. How many of you know we live by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? We don't live by what God has said. We live by what God is saying. That's what Aaron was telling us today. He wasn't desecrating the Bible. He wasn't belittling the Bible. He was saying it's not enough to know what God has said. It's better to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church right now. And to live in that. And I know a lot of people, they'll tell you what God told them 20 years ago. They're doing nothing for God today because they never heard that proceeding word. That word that said, put the knife up. And they destroyed everything in their life. They're miserable. They're out of touch with the Spirit. They're out of touch with what God is doing in 2018. But I'm glad for Rhema words. We have heard Rhema words from God. We have heard now words from God. And I thank God for every one of them. I thank God for Brother Terry telling me I can walk with God. I thank Brother Chris for telling me drop the title, drop the prestige. That was beautiful. Every one of these messages spoke to me. And I got a sugar rush listening to Aaron today with all those sweet little truths. Everything he put out there, this is a sweet little truth. I was getting a sugar rush. So I was kind of glad when he said, I'm going to give you a cool truth. So he kind of was able to transition beyond the sweet little truths. And we got a cool truth or two in there too. But I told Terry today, I said, if I could do one thing the rest of my life, I don't know how much longer I've got on this earth. Rapture may happen tonight. Gordon may take me home tonight. But I could literally spend the rest of my life speaking in to the generation of the church right now and be content with that. I love it. You guys don't change, man. Stay full of God. Stay pure. Stay sincere. Well, Brother David, you got to be a mover and a shaker to be in ministry today. Do you think God has gone senile now that he called you to preach and he can't open the door? He opens doors, folks. I don't parade myself before anybody. I don't go up to anybody and say, can I come preach for you? Jesus just said, I'll open doors that no man can shut. I'll shut doors that no man can open. And folks, he's done that. He's literally done that. He's not senile. He's not out of business. You don't have to hobnob. You don't have to move and shake and create networks. Just trust God. God will put you, your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. Right? That's the word of God. Your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. And I'm before a great man tonight. I'm before great men and women of God in this house. And I just thank God for this opportunity. It is an exciting time to be in the body of Christ right now. Is anybody besides me in awe of what Jesus is doing in this hour? Isn't it incredible? Absolutely incredible. I mean, jaw-dropping incredible what the Lord is doing right now. And Brother Jeremy back here, he may have told you this when he was up here, was in North Carolina back a few weeks ago, and was at a church called Temple Baptist, and they're far from that now, okay? They're far from that now. And while he was there from Sunday morning through Thursday morning, actually somebody got filled Thursday morning, right? From Sunday morning to Thursday morning, they had 5 people born again and 16 people baptized in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Lee and I, Brother Jeremy, and don't see anybody else that was in here. We were in Bonifay, Florida for the Greater Glory Conference in February. And from February the 11th to February the 18th, we had over 40 people baptized in the Holy Spirit. And just incredible. Most of them non-Pentecostal people in their upbringing. And they came in, some of them under conviction of sin. When they walked in the building before we ever got to the preaching, they're at the altar, they're being saved. And many of them were not only saved that night, they were baptized in the Spirit that night. 40 people, over 40 people. Brother Aaron was in Bonifay, Florida the other day, 2 nights of a back-to-school rally. Brother Jared Jenkins' church, putting this on with some other churches. In two nights, there were over 100 young people baptized in the Holy Spirit. Many were saved, slain in the Spirit. Jesus doing a work in their life. Miracles and signs and wonders happening. There was one young girl. She came from a church that was far from Pentecostal. And she got filled with the Holy Ghost. And she's slain in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, being filled with the power of God. She got up, and Brother Jared Jenkins said to her, he said, "You've got a new tongue now." And she was scheduled to sing the next morning in the non-Pentecostal church. And he said, "Be ready. The Lord's going to move on you, going to move through you." And she got up to sing. And folks, I don't know who said the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. Whoever said this, that he's not going to break out in places people don't want him. Where did you read that in the Bible? I don't know where you got that in the Bible, but his Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh. That's good coverage. That's not pockets of revival. That's good coverage. That's complete, full coverage. All flesh. That little girl got up, started singing, got to singing in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And there were some people in there that used to go to a Pentecostal church. In this non-Pentecostal church, it smoked them out. And they started being refilled with the Spirit. And people started being slain in this church. I'm telling you, we're in a great time, is what I'm telling you. This is incredible. We used to preach about this. We used to preach our way toward this. And now we're preaching out of it. Now we're preaching out of it. Hallelujah. And you might as well get ready for this. We're going to be in the glory of God until the rapture of the church. Just mark it down. We're not coming out of this. If you want to walk out of it, you can. You can leave Father's house anytime you want to. But we're not coming out of this. The Lord is sealing us in. And if there's going to be a glorious church, that literally means in glory. He's going to present a church to himself in glory. And if he's going to present it in glory, that means the glory has to come to us here and now. So I thank God for that. This is a great hour. I like what Lee says. He said, people said, "Ooh, that Holy Ghost stuff. Ooh, that scares me. That scares me." And then to go home and watch vampires and zombies and all that stuff. That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, ooh, that Holy Ghost scares me, but I'm going to watch The Walking Dead. I'm going that's just crazy stuff. Holy Ghost is wonderful. He's God. This is great. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, folks, if people are getting filled easy, people are not shaking them and trying to get their jaw to go up and down, that Jesus is just baptizing people like he said he would. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. So it's a great hour, and I'm so glad to be a part of this. And what I used to prophesy about and preach about in prophecy now is reality. It's the norm of the church. So it's great. And I'm glad to see all of you tonight. I want you to stand with me, if you will. You'll find our scripture text in the book of Judges, the 13th chapter. I ask you to go there with me, Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. We're going to begin at verse number 1. Go down through verse number 12. And we're going to read also verses 22 through 25. Judges 13, verse 1, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us. Note that. Let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? Verse 22, Bible says, And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. And most people believe, and I do too, that this was the pre-incarnate Christ that they are dealing with, because this angel accepted worship, right? And angels are not to be worshipped. Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would us as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Hope you notice verse number 8 again. Let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. I want to speak into your heart tonight. Let him come again. Let him come again. Would you just pray with me right now and ask the Holy Ghost to open our hearts up to the things of God, to the voice of the Spirit right now. Father in heaven, we thank you for this great night. And Lord, not only for this great night, but for this entire week where we have been blessed, God. Your word has been meaty. It has been weighty. Lord, it has not only challenged us, it has changed us. It has charged us in our inner man, God. Made us believe again that a simple walk with you, a simple devotion, a sincere devotion is enough. For we look upon Christianity and we know that the enemy has beguiled many from the simplicity that is in Christ. Oh, thank you, Spirit of God, that you are bringing us back to that reality, that it is a love relationship with Jesus, and it is loving one another as Christ has loved us. I thank you, God, for every person in the sound of my voice. I honor every minister's wife, every minister's companion. I pray, God, that this will be the greatest season of fruitfulness that they have ever known before. Let the harvest be brought in. Let miracles and signs and wonders come. Lord, get us out of the way that we can move with you and flow with you, God, that it will be a river and not a stagnated pond gathering algae, Lord. But Lord, deliver us tonight from ourselves. Deliver us from preconceived ideas. And let the truth of God come in power, Lord. And let it live. Let it be a living word in every heart, oh God. We pray in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen, amen. And amen. You can be seated. Hopefully you have picked up on the fact that some of the greatest visitations and manifestations of the Spirit in our lifetime are occurring right now. And not only is the Lord pouring out his Spirit, but there is a very corrective element about this outpouring of the Spirit. A lot of people that believe that time had passed them by, a lot of people that believe that they had wasted their life, they saw their spirit like Manoah's wife's womb, barren and empty, unable to produce life, unable to produce fruitfulness. Now that the Spirit is being poured out, that Spirit is coming alive. And they are believing and knowing in their heart that God is going to do something not only in me, but God is going to do something mighty through me. We are right now in our season of correction. Just as Jesus spoke to the church at Ephesus, he's speaking to Brother Chris's church. He's speaking to Brother Terry's church. He's speaking to your church. And he's pointing out all of those things that are keeping our spirit from being solely and purely centered upon the Lord, where we can bring forth what God wants us to bring forth in our life. I call it a space of grace. It's being granted to us, whereby our spirits are being infused with a very special fertility to, in time, bring something forth that will be a delivering force in the earth. You have to believe that tonight, preacher. You've got to believe that, lay member, that what God brings through you is not simply to make you feel good. It is going to be a spiritual dynamo in the earth that's going to bring deliverance and life to the people of God. And that is happening and occurring everywhere. Now, hear what I'm about to tell you. The Lord will have more success in those who have never experienced revival than in those who are students of revival who have participated in revival in the past. That's what I'm seeing right now. It doesn't mean if you've had revival before, but I know a lot of people that are students of revival that are fighting what God is doing right now. They're totally against it. They don't believe it's God. They don't believe the great glory is for the latter house. They believe the best days are days gone by, and now we have to somehow reciprocate that back and work it up again in this generation. Not on your life. The greater glory is for this generation, and it's in the here and now. That's the word of God. That's the mind of God. So some of the most dynamic heroes of the faith came through those who spent some or most of their lives in barrenness. Have you ever thought about that? Some of the greatest heroes of faith that were spiritual dynamos in the kingdom of God came out of wombs that for some or most of the lives of their mother was spent in barrenness. Think about Sarah. She wanted to have a son, but God had a special son assigned to her. All of her life, most of her life, spent in barrenness. But Isaac came through that moved the messianic kingdom and the messianic purpose further down the line. What about Rachel? Give me children. We'll read about this in a moment. She said, give me children or else I die. What was her womb waiting for? A Joseph and a Benjamin. What about Hannah? She fasted. She prayed. She's in warfare against her husband's other wife. It's a terrible, dreadful moment, but her womb was not made for a Judas. Her womb was made for a Samuel that would move and bring things forth in newness and freshness in the house of God. And then you've got Sister Manoah's womb, been barren most of her life, but now God says, I'm going to use your womb to bring forth a Samson. And listen, Jesus himself came through a womb that had never been touched by a man's seed. What I'm telling you tonight is that if your spirit has known nothing but barrenness and your ministry has known nothing but futility and emptiness, if you'll get alone with the Holy Spirit, he will infuse life into your spirit, and out of your spirit will come forth something of glory and power that will move this kingdom forward and bring life and deliverance to the people of God. That's what this last revival is all about. What God is going to do through this generation will be the greatest works of God this earth has ever known. Amen. Got three head nods, two grunts, and a couple amens out there. That's right. This glory is greater. Now listen to me tonight. I think a lot of us, and I didn't know who all was going to be here, so I really had to think my way through this particular part of the message. But most of us in here, probably, I don't know if it'd be most, but some of us at some point of our life may have been tempted to use surrogate means to bring forth what we thought God wanted out of our lives. Anybody ever been tempted to do that before? I'm going to raise my hand up. I've been tempted to do that before. Long time ago, not now. I saw other men of God, women of God that had a great history of usefulness in the kingdom of God, that now it looked like they were being bypassed by what God is doing now. So they did not practice surrogacy in the early stages of their ministry, but now in the latter stages of their ministry, they are using surrogate means to bring forth something they believe that will keep them relevant. I want to show you this in the scripture. Go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 30, if you will. The book of Genesis, chapter number 30. And look at verses 1 through 5 with me, and then verses 9 and 10. It said, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld thee, hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid to wife. And Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. Verses 9 and 10 says, when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she's no longer bearing. Her womb has become empty. Now she's left bearing. She took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. Do you see the contrast here? Rachel has had no children. She doesn't seem to be relevant in the realm of motherhood. So she said, to become relevant, I'm going to give my handmaid to my husband. And through her womb, I'm going to bring forth a child. She even said, the child that came through Bilhah's womb was her child. Well, listen, Bilhah in the Hebrew means timid or trouble. Keep that in mind, okay? That's what it means, timid or trouble. Then Leah looks on. She's had a history of motherhood. She's brought forth children. But now suddenly her womb is no longer fertile. She's not fruitful anymore. And she sees Rachel now, a young generation, bringing forth new life. And she says, I want me some of that too. I don't want to become irrelevant. I still want to be relevant. She couldn't produce through her own womb, at least at that time. She later on did, but she said, I'm going to use surrogacy so I can continue to be relevant. Rachel did it so she could be relevant now, but Leah wanted to do it so she could stay relevant. Now, she gave Jacob Zilpah. Her name in the Hebrew means trickle. Think about that. Surrogate wombs were called timid or trouble, and trickle. Doesn't that speak to us about what happens when we try to use fleshly means to bring forth what only the Holy Spirit can bring forth in the church? Surrogate wounds lack courage, they're timid, and they lack consistency. There's no flow in that. There's only a trickle. People go to church, ooh, I felt God today. But they go home and they live a thimbleful of the things of God. They're very shallow, and there's no consistency in their life. You know what surrogacy is a product? It's a product of indirect intimacy. And that's where a lot of preachers live, not in the intimate presence of God, but through indirect intimacy. They use somebody else's plan, somebody else's way. I'll do it like they do it. Listen, when you do that, you're not having children. You're babysitting somebody else's child. You're not advancing the kingdom of God. You're running a daycare center. My life's a product of seeking God. I've had great men speak into my life. I've had wonderful people speak into my life. I've had people prophesy over my life. But what God is doing in my life is a product of me getting alone with the Holy Spirit and saying, you brought Jesus through Mary's womb. Now bring Jesus through my spirit too. Hallelujah. It's not surrogacy. I'm not living somebody else's life. I'm not living somebody else's dream. I'm living the dream God has for David Owens. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody give him praise tonight. Isaiah 54, remember what I told you now. People that have never known this before are going to be more readily touchable by this outpouring than a lot of people that's known it before. This is what God said in Isaiah 54 and 1. This is so powerful and profound. Seeing, O barren. And the word barren means sterile. Seeing, O sterile ones, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. Listen to this. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. You know why there's very little history of anything good happening spiritually in Wisconsin? Because there never was a womb available that God could put his seed into to bring forth that life. But I look out here tonight, I see an apostolic authority that God's assigned to lead this thing. He's going to release seed into your life. And all God is asking out of the churches and the people in this area is for you to provide a womb for that seed to go into. Why don't you let that happen? I tell you, Wisconsin, it's time for you to shout and to break forth into singing. You're going to bring forth more than a lot of southern states. It's no nothing but revival because it's new and it's fresh and you'll handle it right. Woo! If I was from Wisconsin, I'd be shouting right now. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, I've been here enough. I'm practically one, so I'm going to shout for you, all right? Hallelujah. More are the children of the desolate than of the married wife. When God says, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, he's not just speaking of quantity alone. He's speaking of quality. He's speaking of sufficiency. The one son Mary had by the Holy Ghost can save the whole world. The one son Mary had by the Holy Ghost can baptize every church member in the power of the Holy Spirit. The one son Mary had by the Holy Ghost can heal every sick body. He can raise every dead person. He can heal every marriage. Oh, let it be of God. Let it be of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He's brought many sons unto glory. You can do it, Wisconsin. You do it, Milwaukee area. God's putting a lot of stock in you in this end time. We only occupy this kingdom for a very brief season. Jesus wants to fill our spirits with benefits. Or things that are beneficial. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus wants to fill our spirits with benefits or with things that are beneficial. It's better to have only a Joseph than to have 11 other sons that want to kill him and his dream. Jesus' own brothers did not believe in him till after the resurrection. Did you know that? They wasn't born by the Holy Ghost. They didn't come through the womb of a virgin. Jesus did. Better to have God's son by the Holy Ghost than many other sons by the flesh who don't believe in him. You hearing me? You hear what the Lord is saying tonight? It's better for you to produce what the Holy Ghost can get through you than what the flesh can do. 1 Samuel 1 and 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, speaking about Hannah. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Listen to this. Why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Have you ever noticed how blessings and experiences have a way at times of waxing nostalgic, if not romantic? Have you ever noticed that? Boy, you're in such a good place right now. You got such a good church. It's so wonderful. Things are so good. Having people delivered from depression. It's wonderful. Oh my. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this great? Yeah, no argument there. It's wonderful. It's good. And these blessings wax nostalgic and romantic, and they suggest to us the contentment that most people will jump at. Yeah, it's really not that bad after all. Got a good husband. Feed me all the groceries I want. given me everything I need in my life. It's wonderful. It's good. I get to watch Peninnah's children play. It's really good. He don't beat me up. He don't cuss me out. He don't push me around. He don't tell me I'm less than because I don't have a child. I submit to you the language of Elkanah was very sincere, and it was filled with deep emotional appeal. It wasn't that Hannah didn't appreciate his loving kindness, but listen, his loving kindness melted in the fires of the inner passion of Hannah to have a son. I just don't want a husband. You're a good husband. I want to bear fruit. My womb is crying out. I not only want something for myself, I want something to come through my womb. I put in the house of God, and it's going to benefit the kingdom of God, and it's going to turn things around. It's going to cause a lamp to burn again. It's going to open the door up. It's going to bring a prophetic voice and a righteous judge. It's going to bring the people back into fellowship with the living God. Glory. She wasn't unappreciative of his kindness. But listen, she said, right now, I need you to be more than a husband. I need you to be a father. Because I can't be what I need to be, a mother, unless you're willing to give me seed that I can bring forth this son that I'm going to put back in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to see the Lord do a great work through my son, I'm going to birth and sow back into the kingdom of God. Oh, hear me tonight, folks. This man who had been a great husband was needing to be a father to Hannah's prophetic judge. I heard the Lord say to me, I wept. I was on my back porch in Arkansas preparing, getting the preliminary thoughts to this message. I began to weep. I heard Jesus say to me, he said, David, don't ever be afraid to ask me to be more to you than what I've been. I've blessed you greatly. I've touched your life. But don't you ever be afraid to come to me and say, Lord, I'm grateful, but I want more. Hallelujah. I want more. I've got to have something more. I need a seed that's going to bring something fresh out of my spirit. Has that not been the theme of the Holy Ghost in this whole meeting? More, deeper. Hallelujah. Never be ashamed, afraid, or timid to ask Jesus to be more to you. I did it all day today. Jesus, be more to me so I can be more for you. If you'll be more to me, listen, Elkanah, if you'll be more than a husband, if you'll be a father, then I can be a mother. Right now, all I've been able to be is a wife, but if you'll be more to me, I can be more for you. So Jesus, if you'll be more for me, then I can be more for you. Somebody say amen out there tonight. Hallelujah. I got to get back in camera view here. I'm going to always forget that. Hallelujah. Could there have been greater words spoken to Manoah's wife than those spoken by the angel that said, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son? Are there greater words than that? Could anything be said to a barren woman any greater than that? Your barrenness is over. You're going to be a mother. Your womb's going to open up. You're going to start bringing forth a lot of life. A lot was riding on Samson's birth, but even more on his consecration level and his anointing. I want to say that again. A lot was riding on Samson's birth, but even more on his consecration level and his anointing. Sister Manoah was given the consecration level of Samson before he ever got here. A Nazarite vow. You can read about that. Numbers 6, 1 through 21. Going to be a Nazarite vow. Going to live under this. You've got to prepare yourself. You've got to live this way too. I want your womb to be that so I can put this seed in there. It can grow in that environment. She heard that. She goes to her husband. I like what I'm about to get into here. She related the details of her visitation from the angel of the Lord to her husband. And now the atmosphere of the home was saturated with promises for both personal and corporate deliverance through their child. Not only are you going to have a child, but you're going to have a child that's going to benefit Israel. It's going to bring deliverance. Can you imagine the change in that home? Wow. Wow. Man, this is great. Don't you know Manoah got excited? I'm going to be a dad. My wife's going to have a child. Listen to me. Excitement about a promise is not the same as experiencing the depths and demonstration of a promise. A lot of times we come to conferences like this, hear what God wants to do. Glory. Then we go home and live the same way. Our consecration level doesn't match the promise level. We get excited about the promise, but we never experience the depths and the demonstration of the promise. But see, Manoah began to move ever deeper into the issue at hand. What began with his wife saying, "The angel said to me," became his cry, "Let him come to us and teach us." How many of you know that's the prayer of agreement? That has to become the prayer of our hearts. If God said, "This is what I'm going to do," then our prayer should be, "All right, God, do it. Do it. Do it the way you want to do it. Not the way I've been taught, but the way you teach it. You teach us. You teach us how to do this. We've never navigated these waters before. You teach us how to do it." This is the prayer of agreement that releases the Samson seed and returns back with the Samson substance at hand. What God has said to him, what God has said to her, what God has said to him, what God has said to Sister Mary and Brother Jerry, it must become an us thing. I'm going to tell you again. I'm going to get in this in a moment. You better be glad somebody heard from God and is believing for Wisconsin. I'm thankful for that. I'm not saying other people didn't, but I'm glad Brother Terry not only heard, but he's acting on that promise. And God is making good on that promise. He is bringing forth the wonderful blessings of that promise. And God just wants you to join in on this and say, "Lord, what you said to him, now let it be an us thing." Woo! Hallelujah. Did you hear what God said to Brother Terry? No, he just didn't say it to Brother Terry. He's saying it to you. He's saying it to you. We'd say back home, it's a you'uns and an us'uns thing. That's what they say in Arkansas. Not me, but some people do. Somebody said, "Well, Brother David, I agree in principle." That's not going to bring it. We're not talking about an agreement in principle. An agreement in principle keeps your barren womb empty. It's not going to bring forth anything. Does it birth a Samson? Our acceptance and agreement must be demonstrated in the power of personal involvement. Our agreement must be demonstrated in the power of personal involvement. How many of you know Sister Manoah can't be a mama unless Daddy gets involved? Well, if God wants to do it, he'll just do it. Doesn't work that way. He wants to do it, but he wants to do it through you. He wants to do it through your womb. He wants to do it through your spirit. That's one of the hardest things that God had to convince me of. It was great for other men of God, and I loved to read their books, and I loved to listen to their stories. And one day the Holy Ghost finally said, "David, I'll do that through you if you'll listen to me. If you'll give yourself to me, I'll use you that way." And it wasn't them, now it was us. It wasn't him or her, it was us. I'm telling the church in Wisconsin too, you need to become more involved in the things of the Spirit. It's what I heard, Pastor, from the Lord. I believe the Lord has sent me here to tell you that the Holy Spirit desires to destroy the yoke of perpetual absenteeism. Judges chapter 13, verses 8 through 10 again. Said, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Listen to this. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. I heard what you said this morning, Brother Aaron. I said, even in your preface remarks today, I thought, I've got nothing left to say. He's going to say everything I'm going to say tonight. Did you hear what he said when he first got up here? He said, I knew I had to be here. He didn't feel like being here physically. But he said, I knew I had to be here, and I wrote it down. He said, we miss out on so much when we are not there. Now, I'm going to tell you what the problem has been in most churches. We get these promises, but when God comes, we pray, oh God, let me be a part of it. Lord, let me be involved in it. Bless my life. Bless my ministry. Bless my home. Let me be a part of it. And God starts moving, and we're not there. Brother David, I'm sitting in this chair. Yeah, but you could be absent mentally and spiritually too. Some people's all three. You know who those people are? Those are the people that say, well, I don't see God doing anything. Oh, you're just, you got an ego problem. Getting up there talking about 40 people being baptized in the Spirit and 100 people being baptized in the Spirit. Not happening in our church. It should be. Could be, and it would be, if you would do more than agree in principle, and you would agree in presence. Yes. Glory. Just blew me away when I was reading this. Oh God, come. Oh God, let him come again. Send him again. And he comes, and he's not there. Oh, God, send revival. He does. Where's he at? I had this going on, had that going on, had this going on, that going on. And so you're unaffected. And all you can ever hear is somebody coming to you and saying how wonderful it was. I think it's a no-brainer to pray for the ability to participate in what God says is ours. That's a no-brainer. You're gonna be a mother. You're going to have a child. Where's daddy? We're going to have to get the whole family participating in this. If it's going to become everything God wants it to be. God had a great plan for Samson, but he needed the parents of Samson to be fully engaged in the plan. I believe some of us are under the yoke of absenteeism. I heard that from the Holy Ghost. I didn't read that out of a book. I heard that from the Holy Ghost. There are some of you under a perpetual yoke of absenteeism. You're never here when the dynamic stuff starts happening. You're zoned out. You're X'd out. You're Xboxed out. You know what the yoke of absenteeism is composed of? Wrong priorities. Spiritual apathy, praying without expectation. Oh, God, come, but I'm not going to be there. Oh, God, we need revival. Lord, send revival. Lord, save the lost, but I'm not going to be there. Help pray them through. Praying without expectation, lack of previous experience. I mean, why would he be there? He wasn't there the first time. He wasn't there when the news came the first time. He had to hear it secondhand the first time. Had to hear it secondhand the second time. No previous experience on his own. And then he had what I call the elder, maybe some people have the elder brother syndrome. You know what the elder brother syndrome is? I'm not going in because it didn't start with me. Come on, local preachers. That's a word from God right there. What makes Brother Terry so special? Why was a church in Wisconsin be chosen like that? Listen, you're here tonight to hear this. You ought to rejoice. The elder brother should have went in, kicked his shoes off, and started dancing and shouting with the rest of the home. I'm not going in there. You never gave that to me. It didn't start with me. If I'd have had the idea, I'd be there. Come on, folks. That's the Holy Ghost talking right there. I'm not playing. Wasn't my vision, so I'm out. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in that. I really feel God in that. Jesus came to the disciples in John chapter 20, verse 19. Doors were shut. They're afraid of the Jews, afraid of death. Jesus comes, shows them his hands and his side. Peace be unto you. The Bible said Thomas wasn't there. He's an absentee disciple. How many of you know absenteeism is costly? It's costly in the sense that it can strengthen our fears and unbelief, and it can exacerbate lukewarmness. But it can also stimulate personal hunger when the testimony of the remnant majority says, "We have seen the Lord." Woo! Hallelujah! He was here! You should have been here! We saw him! We felt him! We know him. He's here. He's here. He's here. Glory. Come on, lift your hand up. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. He's here. He's here, church. He's here. Glory. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm not going to deny he's here. I'm not going to deny he was there. But I want this for myself. I want it for myself. Absenteeism is costly, but it's not irreversible. 8 days later, Thomas is with them, and Jesus comes again. And he deals with Thomas solely. Thomas, I'm here for you. Reach hither your hand and touch me and feel me. I'm here for you. Glory, come on, lift your hand up and give God some worship in this house. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Run your finger right there. Stick that fist up in here. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. It's not that Thomas can now see and feel the Lord. Rather, it's that the Lord has enlarged the gospel's influence through a man who bought in with what Jesus was doing among the whole. Jesus destroyed the yoke of absenteeism off Thomas. He wants to do it off you as well. Absenteeism is not defeated just by being present, but by being present and participating in the Lord's ministry right now. I'm getting close to the end. I'm not at the end. I'm getting close to the end. I heard the Lord say this as well. It's time for us to think about the Lord's investment in redemptive matters. Stop with the "I don't have time" stuff. You just don't want to. You don't love him enough to do it. Just get real, okay? You just don't love him enough to do it. But you can. We need to think about the Lord's investment in redemptive matters. God had more at stake than anyone in Samson's birth. And it was not the time to have an absentee husband. He doesn't need an absentee church right now. He needs a church that's engaged. Look back at verses 11 and 12. It says, Manoah arose and went after his wife. She came again the second time. Honey, he came again. I'm not missing it this time. Let's hurry and get there before he leaves. I've got to experience it this time. Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? I like what Aaron said today. He said he's been delivered from old men. I've been called an old man this week. So you're free from me too, brother. It's okay to follow those to whom previous encounters belong, as they usually are the ones who bring foreknowledge and foretastes about our future. You can't discredit that. I thank God for that. But folks, it's just common sense. Manoah's wife and Manoah are going to play two different parts in bringing forth Samson. Hello? I can't do what you can do. You can't do what I can do. But we can do it together and bring forth a manifestation of Jesus. And I've got to be there. You've got to be there to make this happen. There's got to be a time when the source of expression, the angel was that at first, the source of expression must become the resource of experience. I want to say that again. There must come a time when the source of expression must become the resource of experience. Once Manoah identified and verified the source was of God, he sanctified himself to the resources of the experience. I'm hearing this, enough of this stuff and experiencing enough of this stuff about Jesus saving and baptizing in the Holy Ghost and people getting delivered from depression and suicide. I'm hearing enough of this stuff. I want me some of that. Is anybody hearing the Lord tonight? Hearing what he's saying? I want me some of this. I want to play my part in this kingdom. I don't have to want somebody else's part. I've learned that this week. I don't have to be called Evangelist Owens, the first prelate of the second predate. Once he identified and verified the source was of God, he sanctified himself to the resources of the experience. Now let thy words come to pass. I'm in. That's what he's saying. I'm in. I'm in. I'm here now. I'm here now. Oh, I love what I tell you, folks, it's one of the heaviest things I've ever got to say to a people. I heard the Lord say this, and I have just been just in the unction of it all afternoon. Intimacy will be the same as fertility in the end time. What does that mean for me? But if you'll just pray, Jesus will work, is what I'm telling you. If you'll just worship, Jesus will manifest. If you will just participate, he will perform his words. That's what I'm telling you. Intimacy will be the same as fertility in the end time. That Samson you've been told was coming, get ready. You're going to hear him crying. You're going to get to raise him. You're going to get to see him work in the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Couple more things and I'm done. Judges 13, 20 through 22 again. Came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame off of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Listen to what Manoah said. After all this great stuff has happened, Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." This is what the Lord let me know. The Holy Ghost let me know this about this conference. That this right now is the battle that some of us are fighting. After all we have been told, after all that we've been shown, after all that we have experienced and believed, some of us still believe in the end that we will fail or God will fail us. Here's what some of you are thinking. This is too big for me. This is too big for me. Can I just be gut level honest with you? I have been harassed by the devil with these very thoughts. I have received promise after promise after promise after promise after promise. Saw God demonstrate time and time again, and yet the devil screams in my ear, "In the end, David, you're going to be disappointed. You can't handle this. Too big for you." I know it's bigger than me. It wouldn't be God if it wasn't bigger than me. But it's hard to be intimate when you believe you're going to die. It's hard to go home and participate in the promise the way you really need to when you think that now it's going to fail here at the end. Verse 23, I love it. But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands." He wouldn't keep speaking to your heart with messages. He wouldn't lead you guys to start churches. He wouldn't anoint you, Jeremy, to play this piano and sing these songs. He wouldn't save five people and baptize 16 in the Spirit. He wouldn't be sending an increase in your church, Brother Chris. He wouldn't have spoke to you, Brother Aaron, like you did. Brother Steve, you wouldn't have baptized 11 people this past Sunday in water if God was suddenly going to pull the rug out from underneath you and say, "Oopsie." Not on your life. I love what she said. He wouldn't have received our worship. He wouldn't have promised all this stuff to us. He wouldn't have showed us all these things. Nor would he at this time have told us such things as these. If it's going to fail at the end, the Lord was not going to kill a needed seed donor and a needed womb to bring forth a necessary man. At the end, he wants your spirit. He wants your life because he has a necessary outpouring that he's going to give to this generation. And he's not going to fail. And we're not going to fail either. Go ahead and stand to your feet and lift your hands up. Celebrate the Lord with me tonight. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Aaron Trimble, you're not going to fail. It's not a facade. It's not going to get good and suddenly God's going to pull the earth out from underneath you. not on your life. I'm supposed to tell you that. I heard it this morning walking over here praying. I'm supposed to tell you that, brother. You be encouraged. It's not going to fail. God's not going to fail you. Preacher, God's not going to fail you. Lay member, God's not going to fail you. Let him come again. Come again. Tell us again. Tell us again, I'm here. I'm here now. I'm here now. I'm engaged. I'm here now. My spirit's open. My ears attentive. My heart is burning. I'm here now. Come again. Come again. Jesus. 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 I just need to tell somebody tonight, your next season of intimacy with the Lord, you're going to see fruit. That's a word for somebody in this house tonight. Be intimate in this conference, but better yet, go home and be intimate with your Lord. Intimacy will be the same as fertility. If you know he's not going to fail, how can you not be intimate with him? If you know this thing's going to work, just like he said, how can we not be intimate with him? I want to be intimate with him right now. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love this Lord. I love this Jesus. I thank God for this word tonight. It meant as much to me as anybody in this house. Because I need him to be more. I want him to be more, and he will be. But by his being more, I'm going to be able to be more for him. People are coming to this altar. That's beautiful. That's great. You let the Spirit of God lead you tonight. I want to read this to you as you come. Somebody wrote, if you hear a teaching and feel as though it were unattainable in your condition, you have only heard half the message. You miss the grace that is always resident in the heart of God's truth. Truth without grace is only half true. Remember this always. Grace and truth are realized in Jesus Christ. What God's truth demands, his grace will provide. Amen. He's saying, I want to be intimate with you. So receive the grace of the Spirit tonight. I believe there's some ministers in here. You stopped being intimate. Before this conference, there was very little intimacy in your life with the Lord because you had one season after another where you were intimate and there was still barrenness. But God's promised you tonight, I'm going to turn that around. This is a season of much fruit. The harvest is the end of the age. Some of you brothers, come and find somebody to pray with up here tonight. Maybe there's some more in here right now. God has stirred your heart. You've got the yoke of absenteeism. That thing is strong on you. Every time God starts moving, you're not there. You're zoned out. That probably happens to preachers as much as anybody else. We can talk the talk. We say we want revival. We say we want God to give increase. But do we understand the ramifications of that? But that's going to cost us. Praise the Lamb of God. Go ahead, brothers, whatever you feel led to sing there. Thank you, Jesus.